Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on news articles, School Bullying, right after this message. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance, who was the former editor of the New York Tribune. Here's what he had to say to the New York Press Association back on February the 26th, 1936. He said, "There's no such thing as a free and independent press in America. Well, unless it's in some country town. And there's not one of you who dares express an honest opinion because you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid $150 a week for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid for doing similar things. Now, if I should permit my honest opinions to be printed in one issue of my paper, like Othello, before 24 hours my occupation would be gone. Our business is to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, to sell his race and his country for his daily bread. We are," he said, "the tools of rich men behind the scenes. We are intellectual prostitutes," unquote. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and the New World Order, men and families like the Windsors, the Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, Vanderbilts. I say it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and to stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about this Global 2000 and Bible prophecy and this New World Order, why don't you call and order my 4-hour compact disc package? It's educational, entertaining, it's informative, best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website, it's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or 417-273-4967. Let's take a look at the truth about school bullying, sorting fact from fiction, an article by Michael Goodspeed. For the past 2 weeks, the most popular movie in the United States has been the high school comedy Mean Girls. It's a film which has won almost universal praise from critics and audiences alike. Words like brutally honest and wickedly funny have been used to describe Mean Girls, which is resonating with youngsters all across the country. The film tells the story of a 16-year-old girl who has lived a very sheltered existence with her family in the jungles of Africa. She and her folks relocate to the United States, where the girl is enrolled in a public school and discovers rudely that she knows very little, if anything, about American teenage culture. She is ostracized and then ridiculed by her more cool classmates until she learns to dress, to speak, and to behave in a manner that will win her popularity. I got to pause here for a moment. Didn't we, years ago, send our children to school to be educated? Why is it then that the children are educating the other children? Shouldn't the teachers be educating children in how to dress, how to speak, how to walk, how to act, how to behave? You know, when I was a youngster, there were dress codes in school. There were standards that had to be made. I didn't suffer from any bullying in school. I got beat up a couple of times in school. And that was a part and parcel with growing up. I'll concede that. But the bullying that's going on today and the peer pressure that's being put on children in public school today isn't anything like it was 50 years ago. Mean Girls has had an effect in American media similar to the school shootings of the 1990s. Talking head shows feature TV personalities and self-described experts freely opining on the issue of school bullying. Unfortunately, their comments frequently remind us of how numbingly ignorant many people are about this issue. Some say that bullying, while it should not be condoned, may actually be a good thing because it teaches kids to stand up for themselves and prepares them for life in the real world. As the protagonist of Mean Girls learns, the figurative jungle of the public school can be even more hostile than the literal jungles of Africa. Now, I remember hearing these same arguments after every recent school shooting. Many of the media have referred to the shooters as fiends and cowards who should be dealt with mercilessly by the criminal justice system. Now, try explaining to these people that every school shooter in the history of our country was relentlessly humiliated and or physically beaten by his schoolmates. And the response that you get is, so what? Everyone has to deal with that in school. It's just part of growing up. Now, I've come to recognize what I consider to be a number of incredibly destructive myths associated with this thing called school bullying. And I call them myths because they are consistently and utterly refuted by empirical data. So let's examine a few of these myths. Myth number one, bullying toughens kids up, and it teaches them to stand up for themselves. I think this was the moral of an episode of the Brady Bunch where Peter gets beaten up by a classmate and is subsequently taught to box by Papa Brady and Brother Greg. The sublime fantasy world of the Brady Bunch featured Peter gaining revenge against his tormentor in a clean and rather innocuous fistfight. Of course, a more accurate scenario would have shown Peter taking Papa Brady's gun to school and gaining vengeance through murder and mayhem. Proponents of this myth seem to forget one key point. Children who are bullied often do not live long enough to be toughened up, and that's because they commit suicide or suicide-homicide. And according to findings published by the Journal of the American Medical Association in 2001, homicide perpetrators are more than twice as likely as homicide victims to have been bullied by their peers. This cannot be the kind of toughening up that we want for our children. Now, is it? This myth also does not take into account the fact that children, particularly boys, are often bullied by other boys who are significantly larger and a great deal meaner. Toughness is of no relevance. If you were encountered, or if you encountered, a 300-pound street thug in a dark alley, just how eager would you be to stand up and toughen up for yourself? Myth number two, bullying has existed since time immemorial and most people come through it just fine. Well, if you attended an American public school over the last 30, 40, or 50 years, you probably absorbed your fair share of physical and verbal abuse. But the quality, the intensity, and the frequency of bullying is much worse now than at any previous time in our country's history. And some recent statistics which seem to validate this comes from www.atrimsoc.org. One out of four children today is being bullied, and the American Justice Department says that this month, one out of every four children will be abused by another youth in school. Surveys show that 77% of students are bullied mentally, verbally, and physically. And in a recent study, 77% of the students said that they had been bullied. 14% of those who were bullied said they experienced severe or bad reactions to the abuse. One out of five children admits to being a bully or doing some bullying. 8% of students miss one day of class per month for fear of bullies. 100,000 students carry a gun to school. A poll of teens ages 12 to 17 proved that they think violence increased at their school. 282,000 students are physically attacked in secondary schools every month. More youth violence occurs on school grounds as opposed to on the way to school or on the way home from school. And playground statistics are every 7 minutes a child is bullied, and adult intervention occurs 4% of the time, peer intervention 11%, and no intervention at all 85% of the time. Myth number three, learning to cope with bullying builds social skills and teaches children how to interact with one another. Now, where is the evidence that any child anywhere in the history of the world has experienced an improvement in social skills as the result of bullying? On the contrary, children who are bullied are much more prone to a plethora of behavioral disorders. That's according to the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention in 2001. They discovered that bullying victims are more likely to experience loneliness, poor grades in school, drug and alcohol abuse, and a chronic inability to make friends. And the source, again, www.atrimsoc.org. That's www.atrimsoc.org. Opponents of homeschooling often utilize this myth by saying that children should not be deprived of the benefits of bullying. But in reality, some studies have shown that children who are homeschooled are less likely to develop behavioral problems. As Isabel Lyman, Ph.D., author of The Homeschooling Revolution, writes, quote, in 1992, Larry Shires of the University of Florida defended a doctoral dissertation in which he challenged the notion that youngsters at home lag in social development. In his study, 8 to 10-year-old children were videotaped at play. Their behavior was observed by trained counselors who did not know which children attended conventional schools and which were homeschooled. The study found no significant difference between the two groups of children in self-concept or assertiveness, which was measured by social development tests. But the videotape showed that youngsters taught at home by their parents had fewer behavioral problems. And the source of that quotation, www.mises.org. That's www.mises.org. Now, I have children that are both public schooled and homeschooled, and I can tell you that the public school students, my own children, have poorer social skills and are less capable and less able to maintain themselves in society today than my homeschooled children. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, the genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held the same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Unquote. Now, there are 64 life-threatening problems described in the Scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. The Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all of these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. You know, politicians like Ted Kennedy, Arlen Specter, Hillary, or that guy John in the Justice Department. I say, let's prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. And to do just that, why don't you call, write, or email me here at the law school and ask for my free general law CD package. That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number 417-273-4967. My subsistence and survival school is also available in compact disc for adult home study. Now, if you're online, you can go to my website, that's georgegordon.org, and click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about bullying that goes on in our public schools. The fourth myth is that bullying does not leave any long-term emotional scars. It's just something we all have to live through. Well, the one person who probably disagrees with this is former bullying victim Jody Blanco, the author of the New York Times bestseller, Please Stop Laughing at Me. Blanco was systematically dehumanized by her peers until she attempted to end the abuse by taking a butcher knife to school. Her mother stopped her in the nick of time and drove her to a hospital. Blanco writes of her experience, quote, I remember being so lonely in school that I would sometimes wake up in the morning wishing myself to sickness so I wouldn't have to face the teasing and rejection that I knew was coming the moment that I walked through the school doors. And the harder that I tried to fit in, the worse it always became. My parents tried everything to help, but nothing ever did. I wish there had been someone like me now back then who had endured the bullying and survived it, who could have given us real advice on how to get through it all. Not a psychiatrist or academic, not a clergyman or a counselor, but a real person who had been there herself and could show us the way out. That's from the website www.jodyblanco.com. That's www.jodyblanco.com. Some people, including Jody Blanco, are able to overcome the travails of school bullying and become highly productive adults. But again, death, a common result of school bullying, renders such triumphs impossible. Again, the solution is home school. There are three ways to educate children in the United States. It's public school, parochial school, or homeschool. Homeschooled children not only are better socially adjusted than public school children, but they perform academically 60% higher than public school educated children. Children who are not being bullied and spend their time in academic pursuits in their homeschooling curriculum will do better than children sent to public school to be bullied and harassed. And remember, 77% of children in public school are being bullied today. 77%. Myth number five, kids are safe in school because they're protected by teachers, principals, and other school staff. This is total unmitigated nonsense. Statistics cited above indicate that adult intervention halts or prevents only 4% of schoolyard bullying. Young children are forced to fend for themselves, and since many of them are facing enormous physical disadvantages, height and weight discrepancies, large numbers of bullies, and they can only do this by utilizing lethal weapons. Myth number six. If a child does not learn how to respond to bullies, he or she will not be ready for the real world. Well, on May 1st, 2004, LaTimes.com, that's LATIMES.com, featured a story on school bullying at Rosemont Middle School in Glendale, California. Numerous parents and students were interviewed who testified that bullying is rampant and virtually ignored by the school staff. But Ann Moser, president of the school's parent-teacher association, responded to the allegations by saying, quote, "Kids will be kids. Now, I'm not condoning it, but it's a learning process, and it helps prepare kids for the real world." Link, www.lattimes.com. That's www.latimes.com. Well, one might ask Mrs. Moser, if a student beat, raped, and robbed her in the school parking lot, would she consider this an appropriate initiation to the real world? This is a myth because the real world of adults is nothing like the real world children face in public schools. An adult who physically assaults a coworker will be summarily fired and subject to criminal prosecution for assault. Bullies who physically assault smaller, weaker children in public schools will almost never face these penalties. Victims of bullying, particularly young boys, feel emasculated and do not report the violence, and even when they do, it is extremely unlikely that the bully will face any serious consequences. After all, even a bully is deserving of a good education, or so the proponents of this myth argue. Myth number 7. Violence in media, movies, TV shows, video games, and music does not contribute to school violence and bullying. Well, it is remarkable that anyone would subscribe to this myth who lives in a culture where sadism, taking pleasure in the suffering of others, is the primary form of entertainment. Reality TV shows like Fear Factor, Scare Tactics, and My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiancé exploit the humiliation of often non-consenting and unwilling victims for the amusement of viewers at home. It's the modern gladiator of the Roman circus. And it is difficult to believe that young people who have been immersed in this culture their whole lives have not been affected by it. Some studies have shown that witnessing simulated violence actually affects the brain on a cellular level. And Dr. Vincent P. Matthews of the University of Indiana Medical School in Indianapolis conducted a study in 2002 which showed that children who played violent video games and or observed violent movies experienced decreased blood flow to the brain. Source, www.rense.com. That's www.rense.com. This is obviously of enormous significance, as American children spend an estimated 5.5 unsupervised hours a day with TV, video games, and or computers. Source, www.parentcenter.com. That's www.parentcenter.com. Now, after the string of school shootings in the 1990s, horror author Stephen King removed from publication his early novella, Rage. That's his early novel, Rage, which tells the story of a disturbed young man who takes a gun to school and murders his algebra teacher. King himself has described his book as the ultimate blueprint for school shootings. On February the 2nd, 1996, Barry Lucadius, 14, murdered two classmates and a math teacher, then recited verbatim from King's text, "This sure beats algebra, doesn't it?" Source? Let's see here, the source, nsweb.nursingspecterum.com. That's nsweb.nursingspecterum.com. Investigators into another school shooting in Paducah, Kentucky in 1997 found a copy of Rage in the shooter's locker. Nevertheless, many continue to assert that media violence does not contribute to violence in the real world. It is understandable why some make this argument as part of an anti-censorship campaign. But how much more tangible evidence do we need that words and images have a profound effect on us and our children? Hearing these myths repeated over and over by media talking heads is an excruciating exercise for anyone with a working brain. At the age of 28, I'm not so far removed from the public school experience that I cannot appreciate the difficulties facing today's youngsters. I witnessed and absorbed more than my fair share of physical and verbal assaults, so you'll have to excuse my skepticism towards those who argue in favor of the benefits of bullying. So what's the answer for parents who want to protect their children while giving them the best possible education? As is so often the case, the answer to one of life's complex problems is ridiculously simple. It's clear that the only people who downplay school bullying have an agenda of supporting the federally funded public education system. An entire generation is being sacrificed, all because some incorrigible ideologues are unable to abdicate their love of big government. As Charlotte Isherby outlined in her epic masterpiece, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, we have in our schools a taxpayer-funded effort to change America from a free republic to a socialist welfare state. The only remaining course for right-minded people is to abandon the sinking ship before the sinking ship destroys your children. Keep your children at home and see how they flourish in a safe and loving environment, something that the government cannot and can never provide. Now, we call that homeschooling, so let me reiterate that homeschooled children perform 60% better than public school-educated children, not only socially, but academically. After all, the purpose for education is to teach your children how to function in the real world. Now, when you send your children to the public school, on average, they will score at the 50th percentile nationwide, unless they're in an inner-city public school where they will score at the 28th percentile nationwide. However, if your children are homeschooled, they will score at the 86th percentile, on average, nationwide. And if they're in parochial school, they will score at the 80th percentile. Again, 30 points higher than the public school on average in parochial school, but not as high as homeschooled children. And I can tell you from personal experience that my homeschooled children are better socially adapted to the real world than are my children who I sent to the public school. Now, that's my personal experience. And it's also the experience of those who have done the homeschooling trip themselves. Take a look at it, homeschooling versus public school, if you care about your children and you care about America. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, back in 1970, the world of food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. And our food supply is now in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 population reduction program. Now, globalization may be good for business, but globalization is not good for you and it's not good for me. Back in 1940, Americans had a pantry full of food to feed their families for an entire year. Today, we Americans have a three-day food supply in our refrigerators, and we believe passionately in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a one-year food supply for 3 days. Do you think that's very wise? And these global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so says the Club of Rome. These evil madmen with their global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for. And I say, let them die for their cause. And then let's you and I live for our cause. Now let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package. That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. Here's an article from Rents. U.S. teachers buy fake degrees to qualify for pay raises. Now get that. Here are the teachers in your public schools buying fake college degrees so that they can qualify for pay raises. Does it make sense to you to send your children to teachers who themselves are cheats, liars, thieves? Don't you suppose that that kind of education will ultimately influence your children to be cheats, liars, and thieves? Well, teachers are increasingly on the lookout for pupils who cheat to pass their exams. Plagiarism from the internet presents an easy temptation for struggling students. But in America, suddenly, it is the teachers who are now under scrutiny for possibly committing fraud. Concern is mounting about an apparently growing group of teachers who are essentially buying degrees, usually over the internet, from institutions which pose as bona fide universities, but often are anything but. They do it because the higher their qualifications, the higher the salaries they can expect. Highlighting the problem is a case in Georgia. The state recently audited the educational claims of the 130,000 teachers in its state school system and discovered that 11 had earned salary increases on the basis of degrees achieved at St. Regis University. The name sounded good at first until investigators determined that St. Regis is little more than a diploma mill that issues impressive-looking certificates in return for little or no coursework at all. Questions started to be asked when inspectors discovered the university was in the West African nation of Liberia. Similar cases are starting to surface in other states. Authorities in Oregon recently uncovered three teachers who had boasted advanced master's degrees from the University of LaSalle in Louisiana. They got away with it because there is a LaSalle University, on a list of institutions accredited to give such degrees, but that LaSalle is in Pennsylvania, not Louisiana. Part of what is driving the fraud is a new initiative from the Bush White House called Leave No Child Behind, and it will require teachers to demonstrate advanced educational credentials in the subjects that they specialize in. It comes into effect in 2006, leaving some teachers scrambling to comply. Few states have laws that can punish teachers for lying about credentials. The teachers in Georgia have maintained that they earned their degrees from St. Regis in good faith, although six have resigned. They feel that they did substantive work, said Michael Kramer. He's a lawyer for seven of the teachers. A diploma mill. Seven of the teachers say, gee, we worked real hard for our degrees. We had to click onto the internet. Here's a piece that comes from the CIA, and you'll be happy to know that the Central Intelligence Agency is committed to protecting your privacy and will collect no personal information about you unless you choose to provide that information to us. That was found on the website as part of a privacy policy statement from www.odci.gov/CIA/notices. Now, you know, I'm just real happy to know that the CIA is not collecting any data concerning George Gordon unless I give them my consent. May I ask, boys and girls, what is the purpose of the CIA if they have to get permission from the people that they're investigating in order to collect that data? Now, you know, the collection of data by the FBI or the CIA or any other super snoop spook group has to be clandestine and has to be done without the knowledge or the consent of the people who are being investigated. Now, doesn't it? I would say if you believe that statement from the CIA, you got your head up the wrong end. Here's an article on Going Postal by AOL. Now, let me read you this story. America Online can fire gun-owning employees, or so the Utah High Court rules. Now, this is the Supreme Court of Utah ruling on a case that came before them recently. Self-defense took a big blow this week when the Utah Supreme Court upheld the right of America Online, AOL, America's largest online service provider, to fire three employees whose firearms were stored in the trunks of their cars in the parking lot of an AOL call center in Ogden, Utah. In a decision that diminishes rights guaranteed under both the Utah and U.S. Constitution, the court acknowledged the individual right to keep and bear arms, but said the right of a business to regulate its own property is more important. Complying with this decision could potentially cost an employee his or her life. Violent criminals certainly aren't going to obey such a ban, and it may also diminish employees' abilities to hunt or target shoot after work. The issue is becoming a hot legislative topic in the states. This year, Oklahoma passed House Bill 2122, ensuring that employees with guns in their cars are not fired or harassed, and it was debated in several other states. Please look to future editions of the Grassroots Alert for developing information on this issue. Now, I've got a comment to make. Now, AOL is within their rights to prohibit their employees from carrying guns, storing guns, or possessing guns in their person, on their person, in their cars, in their lockers, or anyplace else. After all, the employees of AOL were apprehended with the guns in the trunks of their cars on AOL property. Let's test it. Let's suppose that you're a gun-loving American citizen in your own home, and you invite me over. And in our conversation, while I'm visiting you in your front room, I open my coat and show you that I'm packing a .45. And you object. And you say, my God, Gordon, I find it hard to believe that here you are in my home packing heat. And I say, well, it's my Second Amendment right to carry a gun. And you say, well, yes, you do have a Second Amendment right to carry that gun. But you don't have that right to carry that gun in my living room. Now get out of here, Gordon, and don't come back here carrying a gun again. So you invite me back again on another occasion, and I come into your home, and I open my coat, and I say, you see, I'm exercising my Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And you throw me out, and you complain again. Now, the question arises concerning my Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms and your right to private property. Your right to private property. Do I have a constitutional right to exercise my constitutional right on your property? I don't think so. The courts don't think so. And AOL is a corporation and is regulated under Hale versus Hinkle. They have no rights. Furthermore, AOL is looking out for their own self-interest. Here's what happens. Let's suppose that one of these employees goes postal on the AOL property, goes out to his car, picks up the gun, walks inside, shoots his supervisor and five other employees, which just recently happened. He goes on about, I don't know, two or three times a year. You'll hear about some guy. He goes and kills his boss and four or five other employees. I'm not exactly sure why, but here's the way that comes down in court. It's called strict liability, and the people who are injured can sue their employer. Again, I'm not quite sure why. I mean, after all, if I walk in and I kill two or three people, I find it hard to believe that that's General Motors' problem, but, you know, the employees are going to sue the Deep Pockets defendant. After all, I've committed suicide and killed five people at General Motors. And General Motors wants to protect itself. And so this is what AOL is doing. They are now on record. They have a policy, and it says you employees shall not carry guns in your cars or on your persons or in your lockers while you're employed at AOL or while you're here on our property. Now, here's what will happen. Obviously, some deranged employee at AOL who wants to kill his boss and four or five other people certainly isn't going to be dissuaded by this company policy or this Supreme Court ruling now, are they? I mean, people that are suicidal don't oftentimes obey the laws now, do they? People who are murderers don't really care about gun laws now, do they? So he brings a gun to work, and he comes in and shoots his boss and three or four other employees. And then when those victims sue AOL, AOL has an affirmative defense. They say, gee, we adopted a policy prohibiting our employees from doing that. The fact that it's an ineffective policy and can't do jack squat or jack diddly to prevent these killings and murders gives them a defense when they're sued. And that's the purpose for this. And the Utah Supreme Court is simply affirming AOL's right to property. After all, that's AOL's parking lot. Now, if you AOL employees want to carry a gun in the trunk of your car, just park your car somewhere else. Don't park your car on AOL parking lot property, and that'll solve your problem. You can carry a gun in the trunk of your car pursuant to your state statutes. You just can't do it on company property. And keep in mind, that only affects AOL. It doesn't affect Ford, General Motors, or anybody else unless they adopt that policy on their property. In the same way that you would have that right to adopt that policy in your living room and tell me, George Gordon, that I cannot exercise my Second Amendment rights on your property. Stand by. All right, you're listening to The Law, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, back in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. That was nothing to brag about, but today it's down to less than 38 days. That's something to be concerned about. You know, these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by 90%. That's right, 90% over the next 50 years under the Club of Rome plan. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing, in essentially the same words. He used the terms false prophets, war, famine, and disease. And in 1920, nearly 50% of our people here in the United States lived on the land. They lived there as subsistence farmers, producing their own food and food for the rest of the world and food for you and me. But today, we Americans have now chosen to live in the city. And only 3% of us now live on the land. 97% of the American population are no longer self-sufficient in food production. Now, we produce grain for export, all right, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala, and our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 world population control program. And these globalists with this genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for. And I say, let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And remember, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Do it right now before you forget. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. Well, the GOP has a dilemma. And that dilemma is how public schools assure the creation of more liberals. Michael Moore, the leftist originator of the blatant anti-Bush film Fahrenheit 9/11, announced in a June 24th press conference that despite Republican control of the White House and Congress, America is liberal. It's true, the Republican Party hardly resembles the Republican Party of Reagan, Goldwater, Nixon, or Eisenhower, but is it really true that America is liberal? Well, you better ask those self-important heads of some Washington-based think tanks and policy organizations who, while fiscally conservative, they manage to shoot themselves on every issue, such as marriage, taxes, environmental extremism, child welfare, crime. For example, just 1 week after Michael Moore's rant, Massachusetts State Senator Teresa Murphy revealed that some 40% of adopted children in that state, Massachusetts, are going to homosexual couples, even though the homosexual couples make up only 3% of the population. So here is 3% of the population adopting 40% of the children being adopted in the state of Massachusetts. Is that liberal? Now, for 40 years, the schools have been indoctrinating every class of new high school graduates in Marxist socialism and counterculture dogma. Thoughtful conservatives are stumped by the ongoing reticence of elected Republicans to take on America's left-leaning educational system, not only for the sake of the nation, but for the sake of the Republican Party. Increasingly, conservatives are looking to third-party options, or they're not voting at all. Now, the various conservative moguls of policy land seem disinterested in education. Oh, they support educational choice. Yet they remain oblivious to strategies that could make choice meaningful, that could turn Republicans into heroes instead of goats. The leftists always understood the stakes in institutionalizing cultural Marxism and social chaos through the education system. They knew from the 1940s that schools were their ace in the hole, assuring them the overall success of socialism and perhaps even communism. Whatever temporary setbacks might occur from one administration to another, education would always be the ace in the hole for the liberals. The interests of the Republican Party are not served when schools turn out little socialists year after year. Republican leaders somehow expect that curriculums which denigrate self-reliance and individualism, which play down national sovereignty and inalienable rights, which offer academic credit for taking part in abortion or gay rights or anti-Bush rallies, which replace Shakespeare with rap poetry, and which advocate socialistic solutions to problems like health care and unemployment, are going to produce conservative Republicans. Well, they're not going to produce conservatives, but they certainly are going to produce more radical liberals. And after all, that's the program. Public schools, populated by some 90% of America's youth and 99% of the teachers, are creating a nation of thumb in the nose at the framers of our Constitution, their writings, and even the Declaration of Independence. Minnesota State Senator Michael Kelly went so far as to call it a mistake to include the Declaration of Independence among America's founding documents. Now, beginning in 1947, UNESCO and the National Education Association were belittling the family, calling it poisonous, and equating self-defense to rabid nationalism. Today, the National Education Association has upped the ante, collaborating with the leftist organizations like MoveOn.org in the largest mobilization ever to defeat a candidate in an election. And yet it denies political lobbying, it has tax exemption, and it pays no taxes. Now, the questions that Republican leaders should be asking are, exactly how is teacher preparation that is geared to Marxist socialist ideals supposed to energize the electorate to vote Republican or advance free markets? How can we remove the red tape so that private school startup costs are lessened, thereby providing more supply to meet the demand? What are the breakthrough methodologies that would revolutionize, without stigma, the teaching of basic subjects? Can we support these techniques through the universities instead of writing each state a blank check? And how can we lessen the grip of the teachers' unions so that they behave more like professional associations and less like political intervention groups? I call them PIGs. PIGS, political intervention groups. How can we move education in a direction that reflects the American founding documents and away from what is essentially a United Nations construct? Listen, let me pause here for a moment. Can you point for me, please, in the Constitution of the United States, that section where our founding fathers established a federal public education institution? Could you point to me, please, the numbers of our founding fathers that signed the Declaration of Independence or our Constitution who attended public school? You know, the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto, boys and girls, calls for free education for all children in public schools. Beginning in 1886, the state of California adopted the public school methodology. They were first in the nation. Public school methodology is a foreign and alien ideology that comes from Marxism. It doesn't come from the Constitution of the United States. Trying to reform the public school system in the United States is like trying to restore a whore to her virginity. I would contend that the whore could repent of her whoredoms. But trying to restore the public education system to its constitutional basics, status, is insanity. That's what I call the virgin whore syndrome. Our founding fathers, by and large, were educated at home in home schools. That's the system that was set up by God Almighty at Mount Sinai through Moses, and there are four statutes in the scripture that require you to educate your child at home. You educate your child to these laws and these standards set out in the Mosaic Law. Sending your children to the public school is a violation of the Mosaic Law. It's a crime. It's a criminal activity. And that criminal activity, which has been going on in this country for about 125 years, has brought the educational system to where you see it today. It is a system of communism and socialism. The best thing that you and I can do is jerk our kids out of the public school and educate them at home to the standards and the beliefs and the practices that you and I hold. And the socialists and the communists will continue to send their children to public schools. If you are a socialist or a communist, you should send your child to public school. After all, it's the 10th plank to the Communist Manifesto. You people who send your children to public schools are simply exercising and manifesting your political and ideological beliefs in communism. And I commend you for it. Send your children to public school. Now, those of you who are complaining about the public school and the public school system, it is not contained in our Declaration of Independence. It is not contained in our Constitution. It is not put forward in our Bill of Rights. It's a foreign and alien ideology. It violates the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. It violates the law of Moses. It violates the law of God. It is, in plain fact, national idolatry. And we Americans hold to the public school system as if we thunk it up ourselves. It's not quite the third rail of politics, but it's getting close to it. Americans are now spending in excess of $6,300 per student per year in the public school system. It costs $543 per year per student to educate a child at home, and you'll get a 60% smarter kid in the process. It costs less than one-tenth the amount of money to educate a child at home, and you get a 60% higher, 60% of the percentiles. You know, the average public school child scores at the 50th percentile. The average homeschool child scores at the 86th percentile. These are just facts. And these are facts that Republicans and conservatives, and I would even contend even you liberals, ought to take into consideration. Public school is a failure. Public school is a nightmare. Public school is a socialist, communist program. If you support communism and socialism, public school is right up your alley. If you don't, then why do you support it? All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School in Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week on Truth Radio, and it's heard worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from a scriptural perspective. And the Gordon Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on my website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Hey, there's the signal that says my time is up. I've got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. So until then, good night, friends.